Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Ichiban Podcast, son. We're back at it again. Another wheel. Bring back my wheel. That's right,
Ichiban Curtis. Sweetcast, go to the wheel.
To the wheel is where we're going. That's right. It's finally time for another wheel episode. Curtis, jump into the wheel, before we got to make it wait a little bit longer, I feel like we got to talk about a huge win that just happened. Did you get to see Doki versus El Desperado?
That show was awesome. Japan.
I didn't watch anything but the main event, unfortunately. Yet
Oleg Bolton and Taichi was great.
Oh, was that match on that show? Was Callum Newman and Yoshi? Yeah. Oh, I got to watch Yoshi the rest Hashi. Of it. I just didn't have any time.
Also great.
Yeah.
There was a really good. TMDK match on the, I think it was the opening match. That was fun. Uh-huh. But yeah, no, like those three matches and the main event were fucking great, man. It was a lot of fun. The Taichi and Oleg Bolton match especially was very, very good. Taichi told a great story with Oleg.
How were you feeling about that? Cause I know your heart would have been torn a little bit cause you want to see good things for Oleg, but Taichi's our boy.
Taichi is our boy. The opulence not being in G1 is going to make me very sad, but I think this is going to lead to something cool for Taichi. And I'm really into how they're building Oleg right now. Like he's a monster. He fucking wrecks you, but he's not disrespectful.
Yeah.
He's not coming at you like, I'm going to wreck you, bro. He's coming at you like, I'm very respectful. I'm still a young boy. I'm going to shake your hand and then I'm going to fucking put you through the canvas.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, I'm going to help you up. I'm going to put the ice pack on you and stuff like that. It was fucking cool to see.
That's interesting because I think a lot of like Western booking would be like, as soon as he's not a young lion, let's just have him fucking German suplex it. Like turn him monster heel immediately, I think would be how to hotshot somebody in the West. That's what they'd think. They'd be like, oh, just turn him into fucking, you know, suplex city, fucking blah, blah, blah. But they're not doing that, right? Like, they're like, he's still fucking in the system, man. Like, he's only just come out and he's, like, that's who he is. And so that's a super interesting take on it. You said that you feel like it's leading to something interesting for Taichi. So he's out of G1, which I do think is a big out. Though looking at the field, I mean, I would probably have him over, you know, a couple of people in there. But they've chosen to keep him out. They're obviously telling a story. What do you think is next for Taichi?
could be something leading down to, you know, the another KOPW run. Uh-huh. That seems to be kind of where he's slotted at right now. I wouldn't doubt if, you know, we see Tai Chi maybe take a run at one of the other belts here soon. Like, we could see him take a run at maybe the Never belt. Uh-huh. We could see him take a run at even the global belt. You know, I mean, I think he's okay with being that underboss.
Sure.
That underboss role in the Just Five guys. Like, he's not going to be on the level of Sonata. He's not going to be on the new, the up and comer like Yuya is. But I think he's cool being that, you know, secondary belt, getting his loving when he goes to the smaller towns.
Well, yeah. And I mean, he holds the heart of the people, right? So, like, even though, like, maybe, like you said, he's the underboss. Sure. Yeah, the underboss, so to speak. Everybody knows he's like the heart of that faction. And so there's a certain...
And Doki.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Doki. And then how was Callum Newman and Yoshihashi? Obviously, I imagine that Yoshihashi would have given him a pretty good time.
It was. Yeah, there was a lot of fun. Yoshihashi was able to keep up with Callum's speed, and Callum was able to keep up with some of Yoshihashi's more powerful strikes and things like that. I think Yoshihashi's such an underrated striker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got some of the heaviest hands in New Japan, but, like, yeah, it was kind of special. And having TJP at ringside for that, doing the call, like, go get him, kid. You know, it was really, yeah. there was a moment. Uh-huh. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really good. All right, then. Well, that is fun. And then I guess, lastly, how do you feel about the Doki win? Because I'm kind of two minds about it, because there's the part where I'm like, yes, I want to see Doki do well. I like him. You know, let's fucking go get him. That's great. But there's also the part of me where whenever the story is like, I'm going to give you a shot because we're friends, and then they, you know, that's the story they tell throughout the match, and then, you know, he wins or whatever, it just feels a little bit flat for me, because I didn't really feel like it got into that, like, aggressive blood feud gear, because it wasn't that type of match. And then it ends up feeling like a participation trophy for Doki a little bit, like, in my eyes, like a gold watch kind of thing. Like, thanks for fucking everything, but here you go. And I don't know. I feel like they could have lent into the story a little bit more, that, like, Despy has just been through the biggest week of his life and he's overreached a bit here. And I think that's sort of where they'll go by the end. But you know what I'm saying, though, like, as far as heat in a title match.
I think you're the only one who might be thinking that it's like lesser than for Doki, because I think everyone is so amped, and, like, to see, I mean, Doki finally got to hit that.
But big, but that's what I mean. Like, I am amped that happened, but are we all amped about it because it happened, or are we amped about it because of the story? That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, we're definitely more amped about it because it happened.
That's what I mean. Think, like, the freaks out there are just stoked because we like him. Maybe more so than, like, it was a fucking, you know, a build up story. Like, I like these things, and especially big first wins, to sort of come with more. And I know there's, like, you know, obviously they have huge history, and, you know, the Doki did real well in the Best of the Super Juniors, and, you know, and these things, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, I would have liked to see a little bit more on the way there, but I think they kind of had to get this all out of the way before G1 started. And that big area that they were doing it in, they were in that brand new building in Aichi or wherever it was. That was a gorgeous place.
It was
basically sold out. There was, like, four seats that were left over. Uh-huh. And I think having a big crowning moment for someone new over the current ace of possibly the entire company was, it was pretty cool.
It was
still a great moment. And even if it didn't get a lot of build up, it got the response that people wanted.
And it does reinforce that, like, it could be anybody's on any given night, which is always good, because everybody would think, like, Doki's the new, I mean, Desperado's the new ace. He's won all this shit. Of course he's going to win. A lot of people would have been thinking it's a foregone conclusion. And then a shock win keeps people on their toes. And, you know, nothing's hurt Desperado at this stage. Plus, like we say, you could make the argument he overreached, you know, like, he had fucking gone through the fucking final. He then went through two matches on the Despy Invitational. Then he fucking, you know, went through the cage match with Sho to win it back. And then he fucking challenged somebody he really respects and looks at as a brother and maybe took him a bit too lightly. You know what I mean? And then that's how he got undone, you know, but yeah, so
it definitely seems that way. And if they lean into that, that would be great.
That's what I mean. I just wasn't sure they were all the way leading into that narrative. I'm reaching and I'm writing that narrative. You know what I mean?
Maybe Doki was putting that out there though. Cause he says, you know, like I've got this belt now. That doesn't mean I'm better than you. It just means I was better than you tonight. And you know, he said, when you're ready, you can come back and I'll give you your reach around as well.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So do you, where do you think this is leading? Do you think it is leading to Doki and Desperado at Wrestle Kingdom and then Desperado wins it back at Wrestle Kingdom? Give him another huge moment of the.
I wonder, you want to hear where this is actually coming? I'm not sure how you're going to feel about this.
So,
surprise attack on Doki by Master Watto returning.
When
Master Watto first returned, yes. Doki surprise attacked him from behind.
Absolutely. Ruined his big fucking moment. Master Watto comes back, but Desperado is friends with both guys. So then you've got that kind of messy, like, the boys are fighting, like kind of thing. And Despy sort of intertwined in it. I wonder if they fuck around and do a three-way or something.
Oh, man, that would be great. A three-way for that. Or then even you could add in, at that point, you could add in Hiromu for a four-way for Wrestle Kingdom if you wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely legs in all of that. So, yeah, I think you might be onto something there. Absolutely. If Wado's near coming back, or even a T-Tine, actually, would be cool to throw in. But, yeah, if you wanted to do like a – I mean, there is a history of like multi-man – junior title matches at Wrestle Kingdom. Like they've done it many times. So maybe that's what they look to do. And that would be pretty cool.
Are we disappointed in another one and done for Despy as far as being champion goes?
Not really. Like I said, I don't think it really hurts him. You know, like I don't think you need, and it kind of speaks to who he is as a wrestler that I'm sure that, if he had wanted to be like, that doesn't work for me, brother, you know what I mean? I think he would have played a big part in it happening this way. You know what I mean? He seems like a real giving wrestler. Like when you look at fucking the way he did Despy Invitational, when you see stuff like, you know, I think that's just sort of how he works, you know?
And I think, you know, the point is actually that he is 40 years old.
Is he really?
He is. And I'm 40 years old and you're 41 years old. And, you know, like I know that my knees don't feel great when I get out of bed every day. I got, you know, my back doesn't feel good when I go to work every day. And I can't imagine that he goes, I'm going to go through Best of the Super Juniors and this, you know, book my own show and have this crazy, you know, death match, cage match or whatever.
Yeah.
And then go with Doki, who is a crazy person.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, maybe I'm just tired. I'm going to take a minute.
Yeah. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. You cannot blame the man. So yeah, no, I think that's it. And it does not hurt Desperado as well. I think he'll be the kind of guy that's like at the end of his career, he's won the title like a ton of times, but it's never really had like a super long reign with it. I mean, he did have a little bit of a long reign at one point. I feel like he did.
A little bit where he was double champ. I think he was because he was junior champ and I think that was his first reign.
Yeah,
that was a
good
reign.
Did Robbie beat him for the junior belt when Robbie ended up with two belts? Like, did he, in COVID, did he get it from Despy or did he get it from like Boner or something?
I think he got it from
Hiromu.
I think he got it from Ishimori.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
We'll have to go back and find out.
It was a strange time. Either way, that was a nice little recap. But we're here to do the wheel. That's what the people have paid to see. They've paid to see the wheel in action.
The wheel of wrestling. Tell us the matches that we should burn.
Yeah,
get this fucking shit out here. I hate this.
Now, who do we have to blame for this? I think this was at Skillgull 22 was the fucking...
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Even behind this suggestion, but
dogged the boys.
Yeah, but we had WCW's Viagra on a pole match. Billy Kidman versus Shane Douglas. What did you think of this, Curtis? Are you ever going to get this 8 minutes back?
I will never get this 8 minutes back. You want to know what was fucked up about it? Is you sent me a text message saying, hey, don't forget to watch Viagra on a pole match. And I went, oh, God damn it. I was in the middle of watching Ghostbusters and I'm sitting here. I got my favorite movie in the world on Ghostbusters. I'm sitting there on the couch with my wife. We've both just had a lovely dinner.
A movie that you've watched 100 times.
150 times. And I'm just like, now I got to get up and go watch this fucking bullshit. Okay, cool.
So you're already pissed off about it. Like,
I am ultimately the doggedest boy.
Yeah. That is.
So I sit down and I'm watching, and then like I keep wanting to turn around and look because the TV's right behind me, and I'm just like, I want to continue watching Ghostbusters. I don't want to watch this fucking bullshit. And I was in a bad mood watching it. It didn't do a whole hell of a lot to win.
So you're telling me is you didn't write one of your famous wrestling essays about it, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
I thought you would come in here prepared with the full story. We could give people the rough story. You can Google this match. It's on Daily Motion and shit. But long story short, I guess Shane Douglas and Billy Kidman are in some kind of love triangle with Tori Wilson. They're fighting each other over her or something like that. Anyway, somebody has the idea that they've got to have a Viagra on a pole match because it's kind of been insinuated that maybe Billy Kidman performs better than Shane Douglas. I think that's what they're trying to say. And Shane Douglas, I don't need Viagra on a pole match or whatever. Anyway, a match happens.
A match certainly does happen. Here's the thing. There doesn't need to be a gimmick there.
No, because... Like, I know
Shane Douglas and Billy Kidman are both really good wrestlers. They could have just fucking gone off, but that's the fucking fucked brain of Vince Russo. The guy's like, no, we're going to do Viagra on a pole, bro.
Yeah.
And like, man, come on. Do you need to do this nonsense? Things don't need to go on a pole for wrestling
matches. And also, the fucking, they even used like a glass fucking thing. So when they pull it off, it accidentally fucking, or it smashes or whatever, it fucking cuts open Shane Douglas's shoulder as well. Could have been a plastic fucking thing. Like, poor guy has to go fucking hard way on the Viagra bottle. Like.
I think it was supposed to it was gimmicked glass. It was supposed to break at some point after. But because it broke during the middle of a move out of nowhere, they kind of had to come up with something right at the end there, which, like, Jesus, bro. Like, I understand. I understand you want to give the people something fun, you know, to root for. Mm. And did you see the fucking crowd? This was the dying days of WCW.
Yeah.
This was when WCW was really going down the drizzling shit.
We're not talking Attitude Era shit here. He's still trying to book like it's Attitude Era, like do shocking shit, but people are already past it. Like,
yeah. And that crowd would, like, I've seen, you know, everyone's seen the pictures that the AEW crowds they're not there anymore. This crowd during the dying days of WCW, like AEW would kill for that shit.
Yeah.
It's so fucking silly. And they were eating it up.
Yeah. They were, the crowd was enjoying
it. I don't, maybe when I was, you know, fucking 17 years old or whatever, I would have been fucking eating it up too. But like, yeah. Going back and watching, like, there's a reason why, like, I was born and raised a WCW kid, and there's a reason I stopped watching WCW at this point.
I was hoping you might have some hot takes because, yeah, you're definitely more of a WCW person than me. You grew up around it, whereas I only saw a few videos I could rent.
I really, like, I loved Shane Douglas. I thought Shane Douglas was great because I used to spend my summers at my grandma's house in outside of Philadelphia. Uh-huh. And I was getting ECW, like, you know, reruns and stuff like that. I was watching ECW weekly television back then.
Yeah.
And like, I loved Shane Douglas. I thought he was fucking awesome. So when he went to WCW, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then they end up doing shit like this. Like, he could have been something.
Yeah.
Fucking tremendous.
They just fucking turned him into a joke. Like, yeah,
it's so funny. Cause he goes, He must have been like a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like in ECW, he's lethal. He's a badass. He's the dude who says, fuck this belt. This is Extreme Championship Wrestling. No more Eastern Championship Wrestling. That's fucking the old and busted. This is the new hotness. Uh-huh. Like, he's the dude they trusted to do that. Uh-huh. And then he goes to WWF and they turned him into a fucking joke.
Yeah.
So he comes back to ECW, uh-huh, and he goes right back to being Shane fucking Douglas. He goes right back to being the fucking franchise. Uh-huh. And then he leaves and he goes to WCW.
Same too.
And he's a fucking joke.
There's something about those big companies that are so, I didn't understand it. I've heard Taz talk about it as well. Like, there was something about, like, they would, it was almost like they were bringing these guys in to take them away from the smaller company. But then they would lessen, like, literally they're paying this guy a wage, but they're just lessening them on purpose, almost. Like Taz said in that, like, when he finally debuted against Kurt Angle, they had the timer for ages and stuff. He was like, oh, I wonder if they'll even know who I am. But it was in New York or whatever, where he's from. He came out and the pop was huge. He's like, one of the loudest pops of my life. And he was like, in that moment, I knew I was fucked, because he's like, because it's not their pop. It's mine. You know what I mean? He's like, all these people already know who I am. They didn't make it, and they're going to make sure that I fucking know it. Like, and he's like, I'm fucked now. And, yeah, sure enough, they fucking never really pushed him. So I still loved him, you know, as a kid, and I loved everything they were doing, but I really wish, like, now when they bring in people, they bring them in for a reason and fucking, you know, push them because they want to use them and they, you know, see the name value and all that kind of stuff. But then there was a real fucking small dick fucking energy, like, just need to tear people down kind of mindset, like, in booking, and it was about owning other companies and stuff. It was just fucked, eh?
Yeah, it was a bad time, man. It was a bad time. And, like, so the booking in WCW is bad.
Yeah.
ECW is great, but it's, you know, not financially viable. So yeah. I think by this time it is actually closed. So you've got all these great ECW wrestlers that are going places and not having a whole lot of success. I mean, there is always the exception to the rule. There's always the Rob Van Dam,
sure,
you know, but for every Rob Van Dam, there's a Shane Douglas and a Sabu and a fucking Mike Awesome, yeah, you know, and like, it's so sad to see. It really is.
Yeah.
And somehow that fucking, oh, and it didn't help that Mark Madden was on the fucking call the whole time. That guy was such a fucking waste.
Yeah.
But
he was not great.
Not great, and not a great person from what I understand. So that's kind of shitty. Yeah. But like, yeah, I the match itself was awkward. Not just the Viagra bit, but like, they didn't have a lot of good chemistry, eh?
No.
Which is horrible because both those dudes are good, man. I was a huge Billy Kidman guy when he first came out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened there, man.
Yeah, just didn't work. But hey, you know, it sparked a little bit of conversation. So if you're listening along and you're a huge fan of this match, sorry we didn't like it as much. It might have hit different back in the day. Might have been one of those people in the crowd or whatever that fucking loved it. Yeah, we love both guys. Like, but yeah, the match is not really much to write home about, is it? So that's about it, really.
No, it's weird that they had to – they had such a match, they had to have like a stipulation to settle it, and only got like 8 minutes on a 3 hour wrestling show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Car crash booking, bro. Yeah.
Car That's crash great. Booking. Silence. It is time to spin the wheel. Bring back my wheel. Where it at? Bring it back. All right, let's get it. Boom. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Switched up?
Have the boys
been dogged?
Maybe. I don't know. Who suggested this? I don't know. Did I put this on? Maybe a friend told me? I don't know. But either way, it's the Invisible Man versus Invisible Stan.
We're going to be staring at a fucking a ring.
Isn't it an empty ring match? Isn't it like...
Oh, my God.
Isn't it like an empty ring match with, like, the referee reacting? Like,
yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, then.
Wow. Can't be worse than a Viagra on a pole match, right?
Well, this is true. All right. Well, not much to say about that. Watch that match, and we'll be back with the next fucking wheel, I guess. Jesus.
The wheel. The wheel's undefeated.
We'll probably come back and have absolutely loved that. So that
seems I bet like, you. I that bet seems you. Like it depends it. On how we find it.
Yeah. It seems like it's up our fucking alley, to be honest. All right, then. So, everybody, it's the wheel. All right, Curtis, tell them where to find us.
Well, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at IchibonSweet. That is the sweetest cast. You can also find us on the Countout Patreon, patreon.com/countoutpod. That's where you can go to donate $5 a month and get access to secret shows and patron-only content for every show that's on the Countout Wrestling Network. If there's something you like in wrestling, Countout has something for you. You know, do you like your news programs? We got Ring Post Radio. Do you like deathmatch wrestling? Well, we've got your dose of death. We've also got access to Rafe's catalog now, Faces and Feels, where he gets to know wrestlers from a personal angle. Instead of just getting to know who they are in the ring, he gets to know who they are behind the curtain, which is really cool. So check out the patreon.com/countoutpod. Check out Countout Pod on YouTube. We're fucking making a killing over there on YouTube, getting lots and lots of people, and we'd love to have you over there as well. So that's how you can find us. You can find Rafe on Twitter and Instagram at Faces Feels Cast. You can find me on Instagram at LDestructo83. And you can find us here on your podcatcher of choice, where we hope that you give us 5 stars, 5 snowflakes, 6 whatever. Out of 10, whatever they can give you.
Yeah, exactly. Give us all of the stars. Yeah, absolutely. We would really appreciate it. And that's it from us, man. Like, thanks for tuning in for another episode of The Wheel. As you well know, there's another wheel coming down the track, so strap in for that, and we will soon be back and in your ears. So I suppose I should do my sign-off. I just need to remember what it is. 'Cause what is it? It's rate, subscribe, listen or die. What else do I say?
Style of strong.
Yeah, spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast, itchy bod. There you go. Woo! Hit the damn music. We just count. Rain and subscribe. Listen or die. The podcast for the week. Spirit is strong. Is it a concern?
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds, and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune in to Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.
This has been a Countout Podcast.